your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Beautiful. Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. You guys, I'm super humbled and excited to be here today with my good friend, Fernando Valencia. You guys, this man is doing big things right now. He's tremendously impacted, you know, business, and he's growing so fast. He's the co-founder and chief co-creation officer of Unblinded and created his first million-dollar business at the age of 21. Since 13 years old, he's been on his entrepreneurial journey and has built a multi-million dollar business with Unblinded in the last 7 months. And guess what? He's done it with no marketing, no advertising, no social media or Facebook ads. You know, his favorite superhero, you might like to know, is Goku from Dragon Ball Z. When he needs charisma and that power, that intense power, he uses him as a form of power in himself. So welcome, my brother. It's so good to have you. Excited to share, to really connect and, you know, bring your brilliance out into the world.
Well, brother, it is truly an honor to be here. And thank you, you know, all of you watching and being here, continuing to be part of the Resilience Minds Podcast. Eric, you are, your heroic, unique identity, your presence precedes you. Super grateful to Dimple Thakkar, who connected us, got us here to be here together. And like, for the, like, fun fact, we're meeting for the first time. And like, this is what emotional rapport looks like. We had a few minutes to connect prior, and I can already feel in his language, and more importantly, in everyone that's, you know, acknowledge who he is in the world, that we're doing big things here. So it's truly a blessing to be on a podcast with such amazing individuals before me, and more importantly, more amazing individuals after me. So if you haven't already subscribed, please do so. And Eric, thank you so much for having me here.
Fernando, it's a blessing, bro. I honestly, I'm really excited to connect with you. And like for everyone that's listening or watching live, you know, Fernando and I literally just connected 15 minutes ago. We had a little bit of like talk time before, you know, we hit record. But realistically, it's fascinating how you can build rapport in such a short time and be so congruent and aligned real quick. But, you know, I want to share, Fernando. So everybody that, you know, whenever I talk about resilience and whenever I share, you know, the podcast with my listeners or my guests, I always say that there's this fundamental concept that continues in our resiliency, in our perseverance, in the way that we follow through. And it's our experience, our X factor, right? Our X factor and how it contributes to ultimately our big Y factor. So if you don't mind sharing with us a little bit about kind of that experience of life, you know, you said you've been on this entrepreneurial journey, you know, since 13 years old, but I'd really love to know, how has that experience, you know, contributed to who you are today? And then fundamentally how it's contributing to the big movement that continues to push through and follow your big Y factor.
Yeah, well, brother, I love that question. And what I would say, you know, for everyone wondering, like, hey, like, what's your why? My why is to rewrite humanity. And I'm doing it through a game known as peoplefication. What does that mean? Is that I'm rewriting the way human beings see themselves, see each other, and see themselves on the planet. That's what I do every single day. That's what I've done since I've discovered it. That's what I was doing before I discovered it. And for me, that has become real pristine. And my vehicle is Unblinded. And, you know, my journey has had its ups and downs. It's all has. They've been dark. They've been light. They've been happy. They've been sad. I've made many mistakes. I've broken my own integrity at times. It's been the most painful times in my life. And in most times, most situations, I've honored and I've built and merged beautiful relationships, which has allowed me to have, you know, a quality life that was, I wouldn't say by design, but was by design. And what I would share is, in those life experiences, you know, starting an entrepreneurial career at 13, you know, my family came here from Colombia, migrated to America. I'm here in New Jersey. I'm not in Greece, where Eric is at the moment with that beautiful background. And like my goal, even though my family gave me love, they gave me compassion, they gave me, you know, leadership, they taught me so many beautiful things. One of the areas that lacked was financial abundance. And I made a commitment at a really early age. I had a resilient choice, I had a resilient mind and said, that will not be my life. And, you know, luckily to God, it hasn't. I haven't thought about a bill since I was, you know, 16 years old paying for, you know, a phone bill. And, you know, that was like the last concern. And since then, the transition of like doing that for myself, transitioning into doing it for my family, which was a goal. We're not there fully yet, but I must say, you know, they're living a beautiful life. We just came back from Ithaca, New York. I had the opportunity to, you know, purchase a couple boats, rent a couple boats. I saw my dad drive a boat for the first time. My mom was in a tube. We were trying to flip her into the water. It was hilarious. She flipped into the lake. We all laughed. And like, that's magic, man. That's magic. So outside those dark moments, I just had that magical moment. And moments like that remind me of why rewriting humanity is what I need to do, or what I get to do 16 hours a day.
Brother, you know, you touched on something really profound. And I think that you know, I really share that whole journey of like, you know, that financial abundance has been, an opportunity from an early young age, right? I share in that experience through my own journey and through my own, and I'm sure there's many people that are listening right now that can relate to that. So how was it that you changed that whole description of what finances and abundance is going to look like for you? And what was it that was there a defining moment that allowed you to turn and say, listen, no more am I going to allow myself to go through this type of pain or associate with that? And what was there a specific moment, or maybe a number of them?
I would say there was a number of them. The source thought was not out of pain. It was, well, maybe it could have been. It depends on what perspective you look at it. And, you know, just for the record, I am definitely not the most financially abundant person that's been on this podcast. I am not the wisest person in business. I haven't grown the largest company. I haven't created Facebook. I haven't created Amazon. I haven't done those things. I know that because of the circles I play in. And I know that because facts are facts. What I do know is that I have created a lifestyle by design. I get to live in a place of abundance. I've created my world of magic. I may not own 500 yachts, but I did get to rent two boats and see my mom on a tube. And to me, like, I'm okay with that. And my initial reasoning was actually back at 13, you know, as I mentioned, really the only tension at home was like bills or rent or things like that. And I was 13 and I had an option. I wasn't, you know, the guy that you're looking in front of the camera right now. I was, you know, I'm 215 pounds now. I was like 250 pounds then. I'm 6'3 now. I was 5'3 then. And I was timid and shy as it could be. If you looked at me long enough, I would like run away and like hide behind my mom. And that was like the person that I was. And I had three options because I was in high school. I was a freshman in high school. And option one was go to school and go home. And all I was really going to do was play video games. That's what I love to do. Secretly, I still love to do that now with my nephew, who's 9. But let's keep that a secret. Option two was go to school and like play a sport. And getting hit by men like the size of Eric wasn't really my idea of like fun. And so I didn't want to do that, even though I played soccer for many years. And my third option was to get a job. And I did. I got a job making $5 an hour developing film photography in Union City, New Jersey, with a mentor, Julio Bulnes. I love that man. Thank you to him. And I remember the spark. I was making $350 a month at that time, you know, $5 an hour, 4 or 5 days a week. And I remember developing a process that it would take my 6-hour job and turn it into an hour. And it was like impressive. And Julio was like this, that, and the other thing. And I decided to like walk up the street. And like at the time, there was a lot of mom and pop photo studios, and sell my process. And I didn't know I was selling. In my mind, I was like, if they're taking them 6 hours and I can do it an hour, I'll teach them how to do it for $100. And I remember my first day, well, not my first day, but the day, I got 5 sales in a day. So I went from making $350 a month to $500 a day. I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do more of this. And that was my introduction into sales. And it kind of sprouted from there.
Wow, dude. So already you're young, you're making changes, you're seeing the possibility. How did that make you feel?
You know, it made me feel amazing. And I remember the reason why I got a job to begin with was, one, I wanted to buy a fresh pair of white Nike Air Force Ones, because that's what mattered. And number two, I really wanted to pay a bill for mom and dad. And I remember being able to do that. And that feeling, doing that, I would say that is a huge driving force, and being able to see what that did to them, to the relationship with me, to the relationship with the family, seeing the access that it created, you know, $120 a month, whatever it was at the time, seeing that, that's always been what I go back to when I think about long days and pitfalls and people not, you know, doing this or, you know, lack integrity, whatever. It's for those moments. And I know that I not only could create it for myself and for my family, I can create it for others. And that's a game I enjoy playing.
You know, you touched on lacking integrity, and I think that that's, obviously, I think, you know, there's something there that, you know, you've mentioned it a couple times. And specifically, I'm noticing, you know, family is like a really important thing to you. But what do you mean by there has been times where you felt like you've lacked integrity? Because I've been actually just reading a lot of things. That's why it's like really speaking to me now. I've been reading a lot about integrity and like the commitments and the agreements and how that's so important. And especially when you have your truth to say, and when passing judgment on all of these approaches to being integral and in these communications as leaders, what was it that made you feel today that you have lacked integrity in the past?
You know, I love that question. And one of the foundation in which Unblinded is built on, it's built within a formula that Sean Callagy created over 22 years, spent millions of dollars, you know, thousands of, not hundreds of thousands of hours into personal growth and development. Just an absolutely amazing man, you know, president, founder of Callagy Law, spoken on Tony Robbins' stage, just absolutely amazing. And when the formula is integrity-based human influence, integrity-based human influence. And I'm going to answer your question, but it was the discovery of the formula, integrity-based human influence. I'm very scholastically educated, 3.9 in high school, 4.0 in college, scholarship. I've read over 300 books. I've consumed over 1,000. I'm certified in all different types of modalities when it comes to communication, Landmark, Dale Carnegie, NLP, et cetera, et cetera. Spin selling, straight line persuasion, name it. I've done it. I've studied. I'm very proficient on it. I never associated with any of them because all of them always had an undertone, even if it was subtle, of manipulation. And when I discovered Sean and I was like, integrity-based human influence, and I fell in love with the three-part formula, self-mastery, influence mastery, process mastery, it became very prevalent in my life, which is why I use it in my language. Landmark was really the experience that solidified what integrity means to me. And if I could be described in three words, it would be stoic, it would be, you know, integrity, and it would be leadership or empathy, I would prefer, if not love. And when I say like moments, when I think back in life, I don't have many regrets. And the few that I do, when I've like reflected, thought, and I've even made amends on them when integrity became, you know, prevalent in my life, I went back and I restored integrity. So even though I've lacked it, I have no open or loose ends, which allows me to be in integrity. So that's work I've done. It didn't happen in a day. I'll tell you that. There's a lot of tears, a lot of pain, a lot of dark, but the light is beautiful on the other side. And when I think of those moments that I regret in life, like the anchor, the common denominator is that I lack integrity with myself and or I lack integrity with a person, period. Mm-hmm. Whether it was my fault, their fault, at one point I lacked it. And that's the common thread. So if I'm wise enough to reflect on that, and I've learned, you know, from my mentor, spiritual and real, and I can avoid those, and I'll encapsulate it in one sentence and kick it back to you. It's a simple quote, don't know who said it, stuck with me, it's tattooed in my brain. It says, a smart man makes a mistake, learns from it, never makes it again. An intelligent man finds a smart man, never makes a mistake at all. I always wanted to be that guy. So yeah. I've lacked integrity. My goal is to never. Am I hopeful that I will never do it again in my life? Yeah, chances are I'll never do it. Is it possible? You know, God has his like chances and tribulations. Point is, I know it's not effective or efficient for me, the person or humanity. So let me just remove that from my possibilities.
Dude, I love that. And I love how you say, you know, the difference between making a mistake once and then never making that mistake, you know, and then there's also, I would like to add the third one where you make mistakes a couple times or three or four times and continue to need to learn from it, which I can say for myself has been in a number of different categories because I continue to learn in different emphases. So I think that that's fascinating. And, you know, as we continue to, you know, learn from our mistakes, and because there's things associated that I definitely can feel that I've lacked integrity, they're the only way that we can really take that pain or that learning and turn it into an opportunity is if we decide that we reflect on it and turn it into that progress that we both want, right? So I love that, man. I think that, you know, when we can find the right approach, the right people to really serve and support around with, we can find the right addition. So tell me this, bro. You know, you've described a little bit about the process behind Unblinded. But you want to get a little bit deeper because you touched on self-mastery, influence mastery, and process mastery. So how does that break it down? And tell us a little bit about what that those three, you know, fundamental concepts behind Unblinded stand for, and how can they work for anybody that, you know, may be listening right now or a Cole's Notes version of it.
I love it. So definitely Cliff Notes version. I would say it's integrity-based human influence, and it's broken into three parts. Self-mastery, which is what most individuals would consider personal development. It is getting yourself to do the things that need to be done. We call it zone action. There's influence mastery, which is such a beautiful component. It is the hello to yes mechanism. In every conversation, there's a hello to yes. Us getting on this podcast, hello to yes. You going to a waiter and getting a restaurant, hello to yes. You getting a sale, hello to yes. You dating someone, hello to yes. You having a conversation with your dad, your son, your mom, your uncle, your dog, maybe not your dog, but maybe your dog, hello to yes. There's a mechanism. Just like you use a GPS when you go in your car, you don't know where you're going. You turn on the GPS, it tells you where to go. Influence mastery is the GPS for conversations and ecosystem merging, which I'd love to touch on in a second. And then there's process mastery, which is the roadmap, the how to do the things that you need to do. So your self-mastery gets you to do them. The process mastery is the how-to, and the influence mastery is how you galvanize, create a movement culture, and have people see their future in you. A lot of programs, things, and dynamics focus on like self-mastery, like boom, your values, your beliefs, your state, your all that. Amazing. Tony Robbins is the absolute master in the world of self-mastery. Absolutely incredible. Mentor to Sean, mentor to me. Then there's influence mastery, which is like what most people would say just is sales. And then there's like the operation, the nurturing, the process side of it. And when any of those areas are lacking in the value chain, there's going to be leaks in your money, time, and magic. And what I would say for teaching point is that in influence mastery, there's 4 steps, 10 indispensable elements, and 4 energies. There's no way we're going to go through all that right now. But the simplicity is that that's it. There's 4 steps, 10 indispensable elements, 4 energies in any influential conversation you can be in. The 4 steps are building emotional rapport, pain and yes strategy, creating and conveying your heroic unique identity, and agreement formation. And for a takeaway for everyone investing, staying here and watching this video, in building emotional rapport, there's a difference between rapport, true rapport, and emotional rapport. Most people play in true rapport, finding commonalities and like speaking into that. There's a distinction in emotional rapport, and we're not gonna be able to break that up any further today. No, there's a difference. And how do you build emotional rapport? It's 5 questions. 5 questions allow you to build emotional rapport. Question 1, where have you been? The past, where have you been? Question 2, where are you now? Question 3, where are you going? The future, what's working, what's not working? That's step 1 of influence mastery, building emotional rapport, are those 5 questions. And in process mastery, and I'll end with this, when Eric was sharing that we built a business without any marketing, advertising, SEO, Facebook ads, any of that, that's all factual. Look it up. It's a truth. What we've done is ecosystem merging. And my wish would be this. I'm not a movie person, so I'm not going to claim to be. But if I can have one thing from a movie, I wish I can have the little stick that looks like a pen from Men in Black that they press the button and it like wipes people's memory. Not because I want to have everyone forget who they are or their identity. I love people. I want them for a second, to stop and think, if I knew nothing, how would I grow a business? If I knew nothing, I want to erase the way human beings believe they need to grow a business, because there's a million ways. There's a million ways. There's social media. There's go to networking events. There's speaking engagements. There's Google. There's SEO. There's YouTube Live. There's Facebook Live. There's Instagram. There's Twitter. There's LinkedIn. There's Pinterest. There's like email copy, email. There's a million things, all of them which work effectively yep, when connected over time. We built a business counting 7 things. That's it. Number 1, how many ecosystems are you communicating with? Number 2, What is the quality and quantity of your stages and microphones? Number three, what is the quality and quantity of your sales meetings? No, what is the, how many ecosystems are you communicating to? Stages, quality and quantity of your stages and microphones, quality and quantity of your sales meetings. How many are saying yes? How much disposable income are you generating? How much are you giving back in contribution and time and money? And how much fun are you having? Period. If those are the only seven things you count, you grow a business. And I'll pause there.
I love it, man. Now, for those people that don't know what an ecosystem merge is, and for anybody listening, do you mind elaborating? Because just in case some people are missing the boat there.
Awesome. And that's a beautiful word and a great distinction. Ecosystem is the graduation of networking, period. Ecosystem merging is the graduation of networking. And here's the example. If most people, and I'm just going to run through the answers for the sake of time, most people, if they go to a networking event, right, and there's 10 people and they're there for 60 minutes, the question is, how many genuine relationships can you build in 60 minutes? For humanity, the average tends to be one and then two on the high end, genuine relationships. That is networking. Ecosystem merging is having the opportunity to speak to those 10 individuals, share and convey your heroic, unique identity where they see their future in you. Curiosity rises and you connect with the same 10 people at a higher level in the same 60 minutes. So the transition from being a guest at a networking event and a person of influence at an ecosystem merger opportunity, AKA stage and microphone, is the exponential difference between taking months, days, and years to grow your business.
And then allows you to impact the right individuals, the people that they really need to be in front of, so on and so forth. Am I right?
100%, brother, 100%.
I love it, man. So tell us these things, because you know there's obviously tremendous values that you guys have implemented behind Unblinded. How do these values show up inside of your guys' work? And do you mind touching on the three core values?
Yeah, I would say three core values. You know, they feel like they stem from our indispensable elements. We have 10 indispensable elements, four steps, 10 elements. One of them is love everyone unconditionally with boundaries. So love is in there. It's built within the formula. Love everyone unconditionally with boundaries. So love is a key ingredient. Integrity is a key ingredient. It's key. It's a key ingredient. Love and integrity. And three, what's resonating for me is the ability to confront. To confront truth. Expose truth. Truth. Let's narrow it down to truth. Love, integrity, and truth. Truth and integrity being very similar, slight distinctions. It is like stepping into the world of what is true and having the certainty with love for everyone to step into truth. It's in communication and in truth that possibility occurs.
It's fascinating that you're talking about that. So again, it's when people withdraw oftentimes from that truth, from that integrity, from the ability to really communicate, that they are passing then judgment first on the person, and it actually then allows them to really ask the question, the conscious question, because the unconscious might not ask, but the conscious might ask the question, how am I showing up in that way if I'm withdrawing and not speaking that truth? Would you agree?
Yeah, I would totally agree. There's a lot there. And a lot of, we were just speaking about this similar conversation on one of our trainings, is what like stops truth is fear. What stops anything in action is fear. And it's like fear of failure, fear of rejection. Like those are the key elements. That is one of the, at its foundational core, as I was saying, how lack of integrity, both of them stem from fear of looking bad, of being misunderstood, of not being seen or heard. That stems from that. And when we play and we lean into like those fears, there's probably like undeniable probability that non-optimal things will happen when we lean into our fears versus leaning into the truth, integrity, and what's right.
Speak to that a bit, because I think fear is a huge, huge component to creating, momentum and courage and business and all of these. So, when we step away from fear and we lean into it, I guess, rather than, use it as an opportunity to evolve. What do you think, why is it such a common denominator among, you know, holding our potential back in business, in life, in creating new things, new concepts, new ideologies in this world?
You know, that is a multifaceted question that I would love to unpack with you. And I wish we had like four more hours. What I would say, like in the time we have here, it's true that my brain is pondering so many directions. It, you know, could stem from, you know, values, choices, and beliefs that you created at a young age. It could be societal influence, you know, for example, like systemic racism, that is like an acceptance because of society and its continuation of it. It could be, you know, just so many different dynamics. And, you know, what's present for me in like the world of fear is in our self-mastery, which is where fear shows up. It is our self-mastery that allows us to come back, to step forward, to lean in. And Tony Robbins teaches the example when there's like tension in the world and you're trying to fight and struggle and you're like wrestling with, you know, that fear, it feels intense. When you hold it, accept it, and you're like, it's true, it's here. You're right, it's a feeder. My feet fears me. It does. It does not control me. That's the difference. I just went to Ithaca and I jumped off like a 40-foot waterfall into a green water that I didn't even know was deep enough. Yeah, I must have looked really tough from the outside. I was scared as heck. I was looking down like, what the heck am I doing? Fear is there, but I've jumped in Hawaii. I've jumped in so many other places that boom, like my fear is there. Check. It's here. I'm here. I got it. Jump. 1, 2, 3, go. So I love the fear. I love the taste of it. The distinction is to feel it. I'm not denying or running away from like, it needs to exist. It's going to exist. It's what you do with it. And more importantly, what you choose to do with it that ultimately matters.
So I love the thing is it's like, it's what you do. You know, I always talk about courage, right? So creating courage, it's in the face of fear and doing it anyways, right? In the face of creating, you know, it's like, you know, Tony always talks about this too, is it doesn't matter if you don't if you have the fear, but if you create the courage necessary within yourself to go and do it anyways. So what would you say is the one reason, you know, you've given us such a profound amount of knowledge in a process of really stepping into, you know, the next level. What would be one reason why so many people fail?
What would be one reason why so many people fail? I've realized through, you know, Malcolm Gladwell says there's three type of people. There's mavens, connectors, and there's salespeople. I'm a salesperson. I've been selling my whole life, influencing, going from hello to yes on something I believe in, which is where my mavenness comes in. Because salespeople could just sell whether it's the best or not. I can't unless I believe in it. Most fear, I'm trying to pinpoint the language, stems from not believing in themselves. And I would say people say no for three reasons. Number one, they don't think that you're the person that could deliver, you know, the product or service. Number two, whether they believe it's you, they don't believe the product or service is what they need in the product or service. And ultimately, number three, the most reason why human beings say no and step into their fear is that they just don't believe they can do it. Most no's are rooted in those three areas. They don't believe in the product or service. They don't believe you're the person that can deliver the product or service, or they just don't believe they can do it. You, my friend, can write all the copy in the world, create the best funnels, the best ads, do everything right, and you know it's gonna work. You've done it, you've experienced it, and yet people are like, nope, but look, here's a person just like you. Literally, the letters Judy with a Y and Judy with an I, same business. Look at it. It works. And they're like, no, because they don't believe they deserve, can, and we can work into those dynamics. But it's really an internal, which is why self-mastery is so important. You can be a phenomenal communicator. You can have the roadmap to the freaking golden Aztec temple in Mexico. If you don't have the self-mastery to get in the boat, get on the plane, climb the rock, you're just not going to achieve, you know, what you want to achieve.
Wow. Wow. I love that. Just the way that you put it together, dude, it's epic because it's so freaking true. It's so freaking true, right? Like, I think that there's so many people out there that they just won't take, and they won't take the onus of self-mastery or really do the work that's necessary to jump in, like you said, you know, jump on the rock or jump in the boat or take the airplane, whatever, you know, any of these great analogies that you use. Now, what is the biggest thing that you feel people can do to really start taking that first step. Maybe if they are really scared or they are uncertain or there is, you know, so much fear embedded in themselves where they're like, they don't even know where to begin, bro. What is it, any advice that you can give to our listeners about, you know, steps they might be able to take at home?
You know, speaking through the prism of the 10 data points of self-mastery, there's many things that we can go through right now. And I want to give something tactical versus like, look at your beliefs, check your values, all those things stem from it. But tactically, what you can do right now is journal. Journal. I have my journal here. I journal every day. I journal for 2 hours on Sunday. It's called my thinking time. And the reason why I say that is because we're like, there's a million things going on. Like so many people say that. When you write everything that's going on, it's usually no more than 50. It's usually between 30 and 50. So a million things is like daunting and overwhelming. 50 things, still a lot, but not as much as a million. And it is the downloading of the mind. Like call it meditation, call it reflect, call it whatever you want. For me, it's like we have conversations with ourselves every day. Eric is literally having a conversation with himself right now. Everyone that's listening is literally having a conversation. When you write it down, there's a third person. It's no longer you and your mind. There's a third entity. And that entity is who you get to speak into, which is your subconscious and yourself. So when you journal and you just download, I call it a data dump. When I download my thoughts on paper and I look at them, overwhelm lowers, possibility heightens, things become clearer. And if I had to give one in fears, right, what are you actually scared of? What is it? Write it down. Look at it. Write it out. Get it out. And then there's like the other conversation of doing micro steps. So I would say journal is one, and two is take micro steps. If you don't want to jump off a mountain, jump off the sidewalk. Like start. Dr. Martin Luther King said, faith is taking the first step without seeing the full staircase. I love him for that. And I love him for many other things. Jump off the sidewalk. If you want to jump off a mountain, start with the sidewalk.
Bro, epic wisdom right there, my friend. Epic wisdom. So tell me, you know, I know we have some time left here, but before we go anywhere, I want to really ask you, you know, you're providing so much knowledge, but I'm certain there's people that would love to know how they can connect with you, find out more about Unblinded, really get a better understanding of what it is, you know, where they can find out more information. So do you mind sharing some of that? And I'll throw it in the show notes you know, once we get it all put together.
I love it. There's, you know, two routes. There's a passive route and there's an active route. And something tells me that everyone here is not going to choose the passive route. It's here for both. One is not better or worse. One is just, you know, less optimal and more optimal. If you want to be passive, you want to learn, you want to be exposed to our movement, we have a morning huddle every single day, Monday through Friday, from 8:30 to 9 o'clock Eastern time. We've done over 900 of them. We have thousands of people from dozens of countries every single day, led by Sean, myself, Adam, and the Unblinded team. You can go to unblindedhuddle.com, unblindedhuddle.com. It's totally free. It's there forever. It's a beautiful place for you to connect with people if you want to passively learn and get exposed to our movement. Next, if you want to be active, and if you took anything away from our conversation today, is the distinction between networking and ecosystem merging, the power of stage and a microphone. Thank you, Eric, for the stage and microphone. Remember, if we're doing it, if we're doing this, it's because it works. And a podcast is a form of stage and microphone. We run two stages every day. We run Real Raw Opens and Real Raws. We do them every day at 3 o'clock, and we do about 40 Real Raw Opens with 10 professionals on each. We speak to about 500 people a month, monthly, weekly, on a regular basis. So if you wanna be involved and you wanna step into a speaking engagement, worst case scenario, you talk to 10 other professionals, accountants, lawyers, financial service providers, doctors, you never talk to us again. I think that'll be silly if we never talk again. But if you join us on a speaking engagement, you meet some cool people, we'd love to have you on. So Unblinded Huddle, if you wanna learn, if you wanna be on any of our stages, we'd love to have you. You can give me a call at 201-975-5929.
I love it, dude. And I'll throw everything in the show notes. So anybody, if you're driving, you can make a copy there. So last question for you, bro, because I want to really I ask everybody this, and I really want to get, if you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
At 3 days left to live. One, I would gather my entire family together. I would travel to the craziest place I can in 3 days. And I would create the most magical experience that would last with them for a lifetime. Mother Teresa said it best. You want to go and change the world? Go home and love your family.
Oh, bro. I love it, man. You know, I love, clearly, you know, you're reading lots. You've taken in a lot of information. It's nice to hear so many of these pivotal and prolific words come out. I love it, Fernando. Thank you so much for sharing.
Very welcome, brother. Thank you for having me here. And thank all of you for watching, staying, connecting. I would love to see you again on this podcast. Hope to see you in the future. And Eric, you are everything, as I said. Your identity precedes you. It's a blessing to be working with superheroes like yourself, like Gokus in real life. And thank you for the opportunity.
Blessing, my brother. I look forward to connecting in the near future. And we'll talk soon, my friend.
You got it.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now! As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Valens signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.